Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Psachim, daf Tesvav. Second day of Tum and Tahara. Let us get underway. In the yesterday's daf in daf Yudalid, so the Mishnah, it's the last Mishnah of the first parak of Psachim, launches into a discussion whether or not you're allowed to burn Tumah together with Tumah. And essentially the question is, are you allowed to be Mosif ala Tumah? You're allowed to add to Tumah. So why the Mishnah talking about this? What does this have to do with Pesach and Bedikas Chametz and Erev Pesach? So, very little, let's be honest. But one of the things that the Mishnah touches on is this idea that you're allowed to burn Truma on Erev Pesach. In other words, we're talking about Truma, which obviously is Chametz. So you're allowed to burn Truma on Erev Pesach, and generally speaking, we don't want to burn Truma, meaning we want the Kohanim to eat the Truma. That's the primary purpose of the Truma, but nevertheless, the halach is that on Erev Pesach you got to burn chametz, so you got to destroy truma. What if you have truma tameh together with truma tahora? So can I burn them all together? Even though by having the tameh truma tameh touching the truma tahora now is going to become tameh. Is that okay? So that's subject for a debate. That's a debate in the Mishnah, and the reason why the Mishnah has that debate is based on other areas in the world of truma tahora. So let's just quickly recap what we saw yesterday, and we can continue on to today. So the first opinion of the Mishnah yesterday was expressed by Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, and he said that you could take meat, Buster Kachim, meat that was tummy with an avatoma, and burn it together with meat that was tummy with a vladatoma. That's the opinion of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, even though you'll be most of alatoma. That was opinion number one. So let's just quickly recap the Gemara's discussion yesterday. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, what just happened over here? The meat that comes tummy with an avatoma, so that meat's a rishon. The meat that comes tummy with a vladatoma, so that's a sheni. So now I'm burning together Rishon and Sheni. What happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. Meaning when I have the Rishon and the Sheni touching one another, so what's the Rishon going to do? The Rishon is going to make that meat, that next meat, Sheni. It's already a Sheni. So essentially, nothing's happening. So there's no Hosafa Satoma. There's no additional Toma. The Gemara acknowledges that's a very good point, and the Gemara therefore went on to describe what Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim is talking about. What he's describing is the idea that the meat that becomes the tummy with an avatama obviously is a rishon. The other meat, now the Mishnah said it becomes tummy with a vladatama. Vlad just simply means it's a derivative. It means it's not a source, it just simply received tummy, but it doesn't mean what degree. So the Gemara now argues that the meat that becomes tummy with the vlad was the vlad, it's, I'm sorry, the, that which it touched wasn't a rishon, that which it touched was a sheni, which means that the meat's a shlishi. So what I'm burning together now is Rishon and Shlishi. Now we get it. Now if I'm burning Rishon and Shlishi, so when the Rishon touches the Shlishi, what does the Shlishi become? A Sheni. So that's Hosafas Tumah. That, now I'm adding Tumah. Now we're cooking. The Gemara made some a couple of details yesterday, meaning that do we have this idea that Ochel's Metame Ochel? So either the answer is, there's a pasuk that indicates that Ochel's not Metame Ochel, right, we quoted the pasuk yesterday in yesterday's daf. So the Gemara says one of two options. Either number one, that pasuk is only talking about chulin; it's not talking about kachim. So that ochel is metame ochel by kachim. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility, says the Gemara, is that ochel is metame ochel on a derabbanan level. Okay, either way, good. So that is the first opinion of the Mishnah. That's Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Then the Mishnah goes on to describe the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Akiva, we know, is making a larger statement. How do I know that? Because when Rabbi Akiva is introduced, the Mishnah says, Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva wants to add a point. So obviously Rabbi Akiva is making a larger point. Now what was his point? I have oil, truma oil, which was touched by Tvil Yom. I can burn that oil in a ner. Ner doesn't mean candle. Ner means the actual lamp itself. I can burn it in a lamp that was touched by a tamei meis. Tamei meis, somebody who comes into contact with human remains, so that person is an avatoma, so I can burn the oil which was touched by a tvil yom in a lamp that was touched by a person who was a tamei meis. Okay, and that's a bigger deal. Now, if we think about it, after we just said the pshat and Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, so we asked the question yesterday, that's a bigger deal, it's the same thing. Meaning, truma, which is touched by a tvil yom, what is that truma? That's a shlishi. Remember, a tvil yom has the status of a sheni. So anything that the tvil yom touches is going to become a shlishi. So the oil, the truma oil touched by the tvil yom is a shlishi. And what about that nair? The nair was touched by a tamei meis. What's a tamei meis? An avatuma. What's the nair? The nair is now a rishon. So I'm burning oil, which is a shlishi, in a lamp, which is a rishon. So what have I done? I bumped up the tumah of the oil from a shlishi to a sheni. So we pointed out yesterday, the Gemara pointed out yesterday. So that doesn't make any sense, meaning, oh, it makes sense, but you're not adding anything. That's exactly what Rabbi Chanina's Ganakaranim said, that you can take something and move it from a 3 to a 2. So essentially, Rabbi Kiva says you can move something from a 3 to a 2. So the Gemara thought about it, and the Gemara said, okay, well, maybe the Gemara offered a couple of pshatim, but basically the Gemara's pshat it landed on was the following. The lamp that was touched by a Tamei Meis, it was a metal lamp. And therefore, what does that mean? It was a metal lamp. So we know the halacha is chalal cherev. That cherev hareyu kechalal. That when you're in battle, right? This week's parsha. When you're in battle and you stab somebody, so with a knife, with a sword, so that obviously the person who's dead is now avi avos atoma. The knife that's in his body also avi avos atoma. Meaning, just like metal is an excellent conductor, so too in the world of Tumah, metal becomes a fantastic conductor of Tumah. Usually when there's a transmission of Tumah from one item to another, so there's a downgrade, it goes down a level. But over here in the world of metal, so the halacha is that it remains at the same level. So here, we're not talking about a mace touching metal, we're talking about a tame mace. Someone who contacted human remains, but he's an avatuma. So he touches the metal, what's the metal now? The metal is an avatuma. So now I understand what Rabbi Kiva is describing is, the truma, which is touched by a tfulyom, which is a shlishi, is getting burnt in the nair, which is an avatuma. And why is the nair an avatuma? Because it's metal. And and so therefore now, by burning the oil in the lamp, the oil moves from being a shlishi to now being a rishon. So that's two jumps. That's the hosafa of Rabbi Akiva. Good. By the way, a little more research of the daf yesterday. Interesting. Shitas HaRambam. I didn't know this. And which is one of the beauties of going through this again and again. You get to learn more. So the Shitas HaRambam is that this halacha of Cherev Harei Kachala is not limited to metal. According to the Rambam, anything which is tovalable is subject to this halacha of Cherev Harei Kachala. Which means then that according to the Rambam, it doesn't have to be a metal kli. It could be a wood kli. It could be, what are your other options? Metal, wood, huh? Could be clothing, I don't know. But in other words, it's tovel in the mikvah. Where the Rambam writes, anything that's tovelable in the mikvah is subject to this halacha and remains on the same. So what isn't in this halacha? So kli cheres. Kli cheres is the only item that doesn't remain the same. In other words, as I mentioned yesterday, this halacha of maintaining the same level is limited only to tumas meis, as we described in yesterday's daf. Then right, that hasn't changed. But now, what I understand, however, not everyone agrees to the Shitas HaRambam, but now, if you look up the Rambam inside, you'll see the Rambam says, it's not just limited to metal, it would be true by any kli which you could tovel in the mikvah. Fine. And it does read in our Gemara, but okay, not for now. Okay, good. So that's now, so far, we reviewed Rabbi Chanina's Ganakawanim, we reviewed the position of Rabbi Akiva, and now Amar Rava. So that's where we left off yesterday, and now we are on Yudal Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud, right where you see the circle of Rabbi Kiva Eger, and that's where we're beginning today. Amar Rava Shmami Nakas of Rabbi Kiva Tumas Mashkan Latame Acherim Da Raisahi. So if you think about Rabbi Kiva for just a moment, so the conclusion, your only conclusion is going to be that Tumas Mashkim, which means that it will be mitame others, that's a din da araisa. Now, first of all, Gemara, it's unbelievable. Really, to learn these 6-7 blot of Gemara, you need to know these 6-7 blot of Gemara, which I feel in general is true by all shas, meaning that you'll have a much better appreciation of Gemara once you know Gemara. But so first learn it, and then you'll be able to understand it. But anyway, but what the Gemara is doing right now is it's kind of throwing us into a debate, which without any warning whatsoever. But the Gemara, it's on tomorrow's daf. The Gemara on tomorrow's daf is going to discuss how some are of the opinion that mashke, that liquids, are not mitame other things, minatorah. Right? Only food, but not mashke. Okay, we're going to see this tomorrow. In the meantime, however, what Rava's noting is that if you analyze the position of Rabbi Akiva, it must be that tumas mashke, meaning that liquids can be mitame other things, and that's true on a d'oraisa level. How did he get? How did he arrive that from the Shita Rabbi Kiva? So the Gemara says, because let's imagine for a moment that Rabbi Kiva did not hold like that, and Rabbi Kiva hold that Tumas Mashkin is not a din d'oraisa; it's just a din d'rabbanan michte. So the Gemara says, let's think. Hai ner mai kamahanya lahai shemen. What exactly is the ner doing to that shemen? Meaning, what's the shemen right now? Shemen was touched by a tful yom, so the shemen is a shlishi. Now I put it in the ner. So I put in the nair, what does that do? It bumps it up from a shlishi up to a rishon. Okay. Ila afsule gufay ha-pasol v'kai. So now, is it to give status to the oil? No need. The oil itself is already tame. So we already know that the oil needs to be disposed of. Okay. No kohen's going to eat the oil. So in terms of adding a dimension to the oil itself, the oil already is tame. So the Gemara says, obviously, by bumping it up from a 3 to a 1, what we're essentially saying is, its effect to be metame other things. Meaning that a shlishi, by truma, doesn't go any further. A rishon can be metame other things. Now, imidrabanan, now, here's the argument of Rava. If all this is working simply on a derabbanan level, my irya ba'ava toma afilu berishon v'sheni name tchila have. Now again, information which we have not seen yet, but we're going to see this a number of times over the course of this discussion, and that is the following. That when it comes to liquids, on a rabbinic level, liquids always go to a one. Always. More than that. Liquids can be metame kalim on a rabbinic level. On a daraisa level, it cannot. On a rabbinic level, it can. And it doesn't matter how the liquid becomes tame. The liquid touches an av, a rishon, a sheni. It does not matter. The liquid always jumps up to becoming the liquid becomes a tchila, a rishon. And more than that, the liquid itself is going to be metame kalim. How do I know that? Did not we have a Mishnah called apostles, a truma, anything which apostles truma, which means rishon or sheni, because truma can become a shlishi, metame mashkin liyos tchila. If that item, whether it's a rishon or a sheni, were to touch liquid, the liquid rabbinically jumps up to becoming a rishon, with the only exception being a tful yom. If a tful yom touches liquid, so the liquid becomes a a shlishi, not a rishon, not a sheni. And as Rashi points out, the reason why that's an exception is because this tful yom is a din daraisa. So therefore, the chachamim didn't need to reinforce the din daraisa. But otherwise, however, if liquid comes into contact with a rishon or a sheni, the liquid jumps up to becoming a rishon. In other words, so what we have over here is the following idea. I have a nair. I have this lamp. It's tame. Now, what we said is it's an avatama. But as the Gemara points out, really, who cares? Meaning it's an avatama, it's a rishon latama, it's a sheni latama. When it touches oil, right, oil is going to jump up rabbinically to a rishon. So, obviously, when Rabbi Akiva is making this point, the nair has got to be an av, why does the nair have to be an av? It must be that Rabbi Akiva accepts this idea that mashke is metame other things on a Torah level, not just on a derabbanan level. If we were just discussing derabbanan levels, so then it wouldn't make a difference whether the lamp is an av, it's a rishon, or it's a sheni. The fact that he's making a big deal that this lamp is an av must mean that we're bumping up the oil from being a 3 to a 1 so that it could be metame other things, not on a derabbanan level, but rather on a deraisa level. El shmamina deraisi, so it must be that Rabbi Kiva holds that mashke is metame other things min haTorah. I realize that's complicated, that little give and take of the Gemara over there. Go over it again, yeah.
The Gemara here seems to say that the only problem is that the Tumah can do something it couldn't do before. The Tumah couldn't do
right.
But the assumption yesterday's Gemara seemed to be that the problem with raising the level of Tumah is not because it can be Matami something else or has. It's just that
you're being Mosif.
You're not supposed to be Mosif. It seems to be the opposite.
Well, the basic point of the Gemara here is that on a Derabbanan level, you're going to be Mosif anyway. The Gemara's point over here is just, it's really a super technical point regarding how Rabbi Kiva feels about Tumas Mashkin. You're going to be Mosif in any way. meaning because the halacha is midrabbanan, is that all liquids, when they become tamei, get bumped up to a rishon. So you're going to be mosif anyway. So why is Rabbi Akiva now worried about what level is this lamp on? The lamp is a rishon, the lamp is an av. What difference does it make? It's going to become tamei anyway. So the Gemara says, point being, must be that for Rabbi Akiva, it's important. It's important to know what the lamp is so that we know what level the oil is, because on a Torah level, oil is going to be metame. It's a different it's a different issue. Meaning the oil itself is assumed to be mukshel kabel tuma.
You say liquids, right? Certain things to be
right. Liquids need to touch food, so the food is mukshel kabel tuma. But the liquids themselves, right? Right. Correct. Correct. Okay. Amar Rabbi Meir mi divrei lamanu. Okay. So that now takes us through. What do we have so far? We have now Rabbi Chanin is going to call on him. We understand his position. Rabbi Akiva, we understand his position, and then a comment of Rava on the position of Rabbi Akiva, and then we move on to the next step of the Gemara, which is the most difficult step of the Gemara, and that is Rabbi Meir. If you look back in the Mishnah, on the beginning of Yudal Amud Aleph, what did Rabbi Meir say? Amar Rabbi Meir, midivrem lamanu, shesarfin shumatorim, imetamei bepesach. What do you see from all this? That on Erev Pesach, as we are now approaching midday, and I'm going to be burning my chametz on Erev Pesach, and I have truma chametz, and I have some truma chametz which is tahor, and I have some truma chametz which is tamea, so it's not a big deal if I just lump everything together and I burn everything together. And Rabbi Meir says, and how do I know that? Well, look above. Look at Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim. Look at Rabbi Akiva. To which the Gemara now is going to basically look at Rabbi Meir incredulously and say, well, how did you arrive at that conclusion? So the Gemara asks exactly this question. We're at the starting at the two dots. Amar Rabbi Meir midivrem lamanu midivrem daman. Who is he piggybacking off of? Elam midivrem Rabbi Chanina is going to go on and midame hasam tame v'tame achal Torah v'tame. Rabbi Chanina is going to go on and says you could be mosif tama, but that's being mosif tama. That means it's already tame, and I'm going to make it more tame. Okay, good. And essentially the same point for Rabbi Akiva. Meaning Rabbi Akiva, the truma that was touched by Tvul Yom is pasul. And as we discussed yesterday, pasul is just another way of saying tameh. Just happens to be that pasul means that it cannot be metame something else. But it's also, in other words, it's already platformed on being tameh. And now what I'm doing is I'm adding tuma to it. Okay, but Rabbi Meir, what you're suggesting is that I could take truma, which is tahora, and burn it with truma tamea. In other words, I'm not adding tuma, I'm creating tuma. That's a huge difference. So, name a kasavra meir, masisim bava tuma derais of lata tuma derabanan. So, the Gemara suggests, well, here's how Rabbi Meir could have understood the position of Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim is saying that what's going on is that the meat that touches an av is obviously tame. Minatara, meaning it's a vlad. But still, minatar, it's tame. The piece of meat that touched the vlad, we assumed in yesterday's daf that that is also tame minatara. The Gemara says not necessarily. Maybe the meat that touched the vlad is only tame midrabanan. Vlad atuma midrabanan, de midaraisa tahor ma'alya. Now, if that's true, so now we have a better understanding of Rabbi Meir. Meaning, look, let's take off our derabanan glasses and just look at what's going on in Minatora. Minatora, I have meat, which is an avatama. Touching meat, Minatora, which is not tamei at all. So, and what does Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim allow us to do? Burn the two together. Now, granted that that meat, the vlad, the meat that touched the vlad, is tamei midrabanan, and by the way, Rashi goes through a whole discussion of how that meat could become tamei midrabanan. For our purposes, for our time being, let's just assume it's tamei midrabanan. Right, Rashi, take a look at the Rashi on the bottom. Correct. Touch the mashke. The mashke is matame midrabanan. You could hold that ein tuma ein ochel matame ochel. Okay, and it can happen. So that meat is tamei midrabanan. So I'll be that it's tamei midrabanan, but min haTorah, it's tamei and tahor that I'm burning together. So now Rabbi Meir says, that's it. Meaning essentially, min haTorah, it's tamei and tahor, and I'm burning it together, and I'm creating now tuma de araisa. So it must be that I can burn truma tahor together with truma tamea. Okay. Umay midivrei Rabbi Chanina is gonna kohanim. And that's the pshat in the Mishnah. Rav Meir says, I learned it from Divreihem, it means from Rabbi Hanin's Kanakawanim. Now, mind you, by the way, this pshat will not work with Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, what happened? I had the oil which was touched by Tfol Yom. That's a Tumah Daraisa. Getting burnt in a lamp that was touched by Tameh Meis. That's a Tumah Daraisa. So here, in the case of Rabbi Akiva, it's Tumah Daraisa, Tumah Daraisa. I'm bumping up, but we're both starting with Tumah Daraisa. So it's not going to work for Rabbi Akiva, but it would work for Rabbi Hanin, it's going to go on him, only because the Mishnah uses the word Vlada Tumah. Vlada Tumah does not necessarily mean it's Tumah Daraisa. It could be that's Tumah Darabanan.
So, in terms of the level of Tumah being Midarabanan Daraisa, Midaraisa, we only have Avi and Av, and Rishon and Shane, everything else is Midarabanan?
No, in Truma, and in Kachim, Truma can become a Shlishi, and that's Minatara. Kachim can become a Revi, and that's also Minatara as well. That's not the point. The point is that it happens to be that in that particular case mentioned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Hanina's case of the meat touching meat, where the meat touched the Av and the other meat touched the Vlad, that second meat was only Tamei Midarabanan. Why? So you can take a look at that bottom Rashi on the previous Amud. Rashi writes, Kigon, right? It's the second wide line on the Rashi. Kigon, Kli Shenitma B'Mashkin. Let's say I had a Kli come into contact with liquid. Kli coming into contact with the liquid, that doesn't make the Kli Tamei Midaraisa, but the Kli is Tamei Midarabanan. The Midaraisa in Ochel Mashkin Metamin Kli, She in Ochel Nasa Ava Tuma V'Rabanan Gazru, She U Mashkin Metamin Kli. So the liquid's metame a kli, mishamashka zava zava, and the reason why the rabbis did that is because of the liquids that are secreted out of the body of a zava zava, shehein avatuma, there an avatuma, kagon roko mema raglav, perakama denida, of course the beginning of the mesech denida, vahai basar nitme ba'oso kli. Now what happened was is that meat touched the kli. So if you're following the bouncing ball, it's liquid touching the kli, making the kli only a derabanan. Now the kli touches meat. That meat is only tuma midrabanan. Da havi vladu vlad rabanan. Shemashkin hayu vlad tuma vakli hayu vlad vlad rabanan. Umidaraisa tahor. So that means that min haTorah, everything really is tahor in the second piece of meat. And so now I have the first piece of meat which touched an av. That's clearly tuma daraisa. The second piece of meat which touched the kli, which touched mashke, which is only tuma darabanan. And so that's a scenario in which now the Rabbi Hanina says you can burn them together. Even though min haTorah, I'm burning Tamei and Tahor. It's only, right? It's only, that second piece is only Tamei Midarabanan. Okay. Back to the Gemara, fine. That all takes us now through the first pshat of Rabbi Meir. So again, Rabbi Meir says, what do we learn? Midivreihem, from their words, we learn that you're allowed to burn Truma Tahor and Truma Tamei on Erev Pesach. Okay, how did he arrive that from Rabbi Hanina's Gan HaKohanim? So our first pshat of the day is going to be because Rabbi Hanina's Gan HaKohanim is talking about a case where the two pieces of meat, one is Tamei Daraisa, the other is Tamei Midarabanan. So that means that on a Torah level, it's Tum and Tahara. Okay. Yeah. So the analogy still is not. It's not a perfect analogy, but it's a better analogy. Still not perfect.
So which one is Midaraisa?
Meaning the Midaraisa in the Rabbi Hanina case, it's Tamei and Tahor. In the Rameir case, it's Tamei and Tahor. There's no Daraisa Daravana. Meaning,
but he's trying to base on them.
So as I pointed out, it's not a perfect analogy, but it's a better analogy. Okay, later on this morning, we'll try to even sharpen the analogy a little bit better. But right now, we'll leave it off at it's good. Not great, but good. Amar Ish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara. Here we go now, pshat number two. So Amar Ish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara, Masisim Bava Tuma Daraisa, Vlada Tuma Daraisa. So first of all, Ish Lakish says, don't do that. Meaning, in our Mishnah with Rabbi Hanina Skana Kohanim, don't assume that the meat that touched the Vlad is only a Tuma Darabanan. Meaning, let's put everything on the same playing field. Let's have the meat that touched the Avatoma, that's Daraisa. The meat that touched the Vladatoma, that's also Daraisa. Let's leave everything Daraisa. And so now, the question only begs. If that's true, so then what's Rabbi Meir's launching pad? Where Rabbi Meir said, Midivreihem, from their words we learn, I can burn Truma Tahora with Truma Tamea. Hadra, Kush Luduchta, we're back to square one. Meaning, where does he get that from? He can't get it from Rabbi Chanina's Ganakal on him. So Amr Shlakish, Rishim Bar Kapar, Masisim Bavatuma Deraisa, Vladatuma Deraisa, Omai Midivreim, Midivre Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yoshua. So he learns it from Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yoshua. In other words, where Rameir is going to go is he's going to go to left field. And he's going to get it from left field. Now, hi, Rabbi Yeshua. Now, the Gemara says, where exactly in left field are we talking about? So, Ilei Mahar Rabbi Yeshua did not chavishol truma. And so now, basically, what we're going to do is we're going to scan all of Shas Mishnayos, and we're going to look for a Rabbi Yehoshua who would support this position of Rabbi Meir, that I can burn truma tamea with truma tahara on Erev Pesach. So how about this? We have the following Mishnah. Chavishol truma shenola la safek. I have a barrel of truma where a safek occurs. Rashi goes on to describe the safek is somebody came in, maybe he touched it, maybe he didn't touch it. So safek tuma, Rabbi Elazar Omer. So the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is imaisa munechas b'machem atorfa yinichenu. So now it's in the state of safek. Let's say it's in an exposed area where it could become more tamei. So protect it. Don't let it become any more tamei than it already is. Right now, just give me a moment. Right now, it's in a state of safek. So I'm sorry. Rabbi Elazar Omer imaisa munechas b'makom atorfa yinichenu. Sorry, leave it. B'makom amutzna. I'm sorry. Yinichenu b'makom amutzna. No, I was good. Put it in a concealed place. V'imaisa megula yichasenu. And if it's in an exposed place, so then cover it up. In other words, it became somewhat tameh. It's in a suffix state of tuma. You still have to ensure that it's still not compromised. Okay, and why should that be? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi points out the reason why Rabbi Eliezer says that is because we have a directive of the Torah where the Torah says that you have to be shomer truma. We have to be the guardians of truma. So that means then, and what about this, which is a suffix? Still, right, the Rashi quotes the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Mishmeres Trumasai. You have to guard my Trumas. What does that mean, my Trumas? So Rashi points out whether it's Tahor or whether it's possibly Tahor. Either way, you have to be the guardian of Truma. That's an excellent question. Please wait on that. That's an excellent question. But wait. Rabbi Yeshua Omer. And Rabbi Yeshua says, you know what? Once it's a suffix, let it go. In fact, expose it. Meaning, put it in a compromised position. Allow it to become more tame. Meaning, right now it's suffix tame. So, it's kind of in limbo. I can't eat it, I the Kohen, which I'm not, but I can't eat it. I, there's nothing I could do with it. It's in this. I can't destroy it. It's not tummy. It's not tummy. So you know what? If it's in the state of suffix, so now let it go. Put it in a more exposed area. Make it more susceptible to tuma. So says the opinion of Rav Yehoshua. What do you see according to Rav Yehoshua that once something is in a questionable state, let it go. There's no problem. You can destroy it, but. But let's be more critical in terms of our analysis of Rav Yehoshua. That's not exactly what Rav Yehoshua says. Rav Yehoshua says is that if it becomes a safek, so just simply you don't have to protect it. He doesn't say you can destroy it. Just right. In other words, correct. So me dummy. So the Gemara says that's a leap. And that's too big a leap. Hasam grama ba'ama acha biyadayim. All Rav Yehoshua says is that passively you can expose it. But Rav Yehoshua does not allow you to destroy it with your hands. And Rav Meir in our Mishnah says that, you know what, Erev Pesach, destroy it with your hands. That's too far. So it can't be that Rav Yehoshua from that Mishnah. Elah ha Rav Yehoshua did not. So the Gemara says, okay, it's coming from another Mishnah, Shitas Rav Yehoshua, from the following Mishnah in Trumos. The Mishnah describes the following scenario. Chavishol Trumos Shenishbar Begas El Yona. V'tachtona Chulin Temeyin. A real conundrum. I have truma in the Gas El Yona. I don't really understand how the structure works. It's not. I mean, it's important, but for our purposes, let's just understand the dilemma. The barrel up top breaks, and now I have truma. And truma's perfectly fine, and it's spilling down. And where is it spilling into? The barrel immediately below it. Now the barrel immediately below it has what? Chulin temein, impure chulin. Now, let's understand the dilemma. The dilemma is right now, okay, let's go save the truma. I'm looking around my house right now, I got nothing tahor. Okay, so for me to save the truma would mean that I'd have to take a kli, which is tame, and save the truma, which is obviously not going to help me, because the truma is going to become tame. But the truma is about to drip in to the chulin that's below it, chulin tamein. So if I allow gravity to take its natural course, it's going to become tamei anyway, because it's dropping down into the chulin tamei. So in other words, even if I save it with kalim, which are tameim, all I did is create tuma to something which inevitably is going to become tamei anyway. Now, what should I do? Should I let it fall down into the chulin tamein? On the other hand, chulin tamein, what happens when truma gets mixed into chulin? Can't eat it. It's what's called dimua. Unless it's a ratio of 1 to 100, I can't eat the chulin. So in other words, there are two forces at work. There's a save the truma camp, but there's also a save the chulin camp. So in other words, and here, my dilemma is going to be that if I'm going to try to save the chulin, I'm going to be metame the truma. If I'm going to be metame the truma, well, I'm going to be metame the truma. And the Torah tells me that I'm not allowed to be metame the truma. So I'm in a bit of a dilemma. I'm in a bit of a bind over here. So what do I do? So let's start off where we agree. Let's start off where we agree. Here's where we agree. If I can save any amount of truma, meaning that it's a slow drip, and right now in my house I have no kalim which are tahorim. So, but if I go next door, he has kalim tahorim. Fine. So I'll run next door, and I'll get kalim tahorim from next door. As long as I could save a revius of truma, worth it. Let whatever truma falls into the lower vat. Yes, it's true. Now the lower vat is going to become inedible because now it's going to be chulin and truma mixed together. It's called dimua. Okay, but as long as I could save a revius of truma, so do so. The imlav, however, let's say that I can't save any amount, meaning I have no kalim tahorim here in my house, none within my vicinity. By the time I get kalim tahorim, it's all going to be lost. Rabbi Eliezer Omer teared v'titame v'ayitamina b'yad. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, you're just simply stuck. You can't touch the truma. Because by you touching the truma or trying to catch the truma in tame kalim, you're going to be metame the truma biyadayim, meaning actively being metame the truma. You can't do that. And although the truma is going to fall into the chulin, and although the truma is going to become tame anyway, but you just simply can't do it. You can't be metame truma biyadayim, even though it means you're going to be losing all that chulin. Rabbi Yoshua Omer af yitamenu biyad. So Rabbi Yoshua says, no, be metame with your hands. Okay? Because anyway, it's going to become tame as it descends into the lower vat. So you know what? Better to save it with tame kalim and be metame the truma with your hands rather than allowing all that chulin below to have truma mixed in with it.
So
now, finally, we have a Mishnah. Perfect. We have a Mishnah that has Rabbi Yoshua allowing us to be metame truma with your hands. So, and that's great, meaning, and now Rabbi Meir, although it's a little bit strange though, Rabbi Meir is in the middle of Psachim, a Mishnah in Psachim, it says, Midivrayam, and then you have to now file back in your file cabinet of Shas, go back to the Mishnah and Truma, oh yeah, that Rabbi Yoshua, sure. But by Midivrayam, meaning from the words of Rabbi Yoshua, so now I know that I can be Mitame Truma Biyadayim. So yeah, but what does he say? He says that, well, Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah says Sorf and Zula Atzma v'Zula Atzma, that you have to burn them separately from one another.
Yeah.
Right. But if it's Tame versus Tluya, so then you can burn it together. Right. So.
But they're both already
Correct. Okay. Again, a good point. Just wait one second. The Gemara says, first of all, just a technical point, meaning Rabbi Meir is launching off of somebody. But somebody, meaning Rabbi Yoshua, meaning one individual. So grammatically, the Gemara says, I don't love the word midivrehem. The Devarim means from their words. It's not really... Yeah, you know, it's funny. Why the Gemara... Yeah, good, excellent. The Gemara is bothered now, and the Gemara wasn't bothered previously, when it was going like Rabbi Hanin's going to Kohanim. That bothered me as well. I don't know why the Gemara reflects on this now. Okay, that point is very well taken. So, mitvarav mi ba'ilei. So it should have said mitvarav. So, hachi kamer mi machlu kusam shel, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yoshua, lamanu. The Gemara says, you're right, but Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yoshua are a package deal, meaning they're together. Now, it's true that they agree, and it's true they disagree, but they're together. So, dekanami diktani, in fact, the Gemara says, we're right. Let's read that Mishnah and Trumas again critically. Moda Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yoshua, meaning that first they come out as a joint group, and they say, here's where we agree, and here's where we disagree. So, in other words, it's a we. It's two people, although ultimately it's true. Rabbi Meir is now based on Rabbi Yoshua and not like Rabbi Eliezer, but midivrayim just simply means from their discussion. Good. Shema mina. V'chein amar av nachman amar av avarvu amasis am avatu madaraisa v'ladatu madaraisa. And the Gemara says that this is not just Reish Lakish who's taking this viewpoint, other amarayim as well. Rava Baravua says, Rav Nachman quotes Rava Baravua says the same thing. Umay midivrei, Rav Yoshua. Okay, good. He agrees with Reish Lakish. Esve Ravala Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, okay, good. I'm glad that you think that that's the pshat, but the Gemara says, allow me to show you a raisa. It's a tosefta. A tosefta of Psachim, our very parak of Psachim, and the tosefta writes the following. Amar Rabbi Yossi. In hanidon dome l'raya, meaning here we go now with the back and forth of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, and what do we gain from this brisa? It's going to be clear from this brisa that the other Tanaim, when they were looking at Rabbi Meir, was not looking at a Mishnah in Trumos all the way out there in Trumos, but was rather looking at our very Mishnah itself. How do I know that? Because look at the conversation. Let's look at the dialogue. I'm Rav Yossi. Ein ani zan dom alaray shikashi hidu. Rabbi Sinu amai hidu. Im al habasar shenitma bevladatuma. Shesorfen osayim im basar shenitma bavatuma. Zetame vizetame. In the both meets are tame. Im al Hashem shenifsa betful yom shemadlikin osa b'ner shenitma betame meis. Zepasa vizetame. And let's go to Rabbi Akiva's case. Once again. Zetame vizetame. Af anu modim b'truma shenitmes b'vladatuma she'esorfen oso ima truma shenitmes ba'avatuma. So I would grant you the following, that if one tuma was tame and the other tuma were tame, and all I'm doing is being mosif, I give you that. Aval hech nisraf atluya ima tameya. But what are you going to suggest that you're going to burn tluya with tameya? I mean, the truth of the matter is that Rabbi Mary goes even one step further. But even if we're Tuluya, you can't burn that together with Tmeya. Shema Yavo Eliyahu V'yitarena. Along is going to come Eliyahu Navi, and Eliyahu is going to say that Tuluya, that Safik, is really Tahor. So, again, the question is really simple. How can you do it? How can you compare the Rabbi Hanina case and the Rabbi Akiva case to your case right over here? In the dialogue, it's clear that when they looked at Rabbi Meir, they understood Rabbi Meir not as referring to a Mishnah out there in Trumos, but rather referring to our very Mishnah itself. Okay, so the question really is on Reish Lakish, it's on Rav Nachman. How can you say that when Rabbi Meir says Midivrayim, he's going all the way back to Trumos? Now, we're going to answer that question, but before we do so, let's just finish the Tosefta. We're on the top of Tezvav Amid Beis, HaPigol, VeHanoser, Vatame. If I have pigol nos or tame, they are disqualified karbanos for various reasons. I'm not going to go through them right now. The halacha is pigol nos and tame. Mina Torah are not tame biyadayim, but are tame midrabanan. Why did they do that? You take a look at Rashi. Rashi says kohanim are atzlanim, which is always funny because we in other words, I know kohanim is rizim, so you know we call them zrizim, we call them atzlanim. Okay, we seem... either way, that confuses me also. But anyway, the Chachamim established that Pigel Noster and Tamei are going to be Tamei Midirabanan. And also, I know there's another point that also needs to be ironed out. If it's Tamei, so what What good is it that we're calling it now Tumah Midrabanan? I mean, isn't the problem with it that it's Tameh? That's another issue that needs to be fleshed out.
Yes and no.
Meaning, generally speaking, yes, but here, no. Okay, you'll forgive me for giving such a simplistic answer, but anyway, it's just the end of the Tosefta, and right now, I don't want to lose track of where what the main point of the Gemara is. Pigal noser tamei beishame armei mein nisrafim ka'achas ubeisilo armei nisrafim ka'achas machlok tushim beishame beisilo, whether you're allowed to burn it together, whether you're not allowed to burn it together. Again, it's an issue of being mosif ala tuma. In the meantime, however, isaka datcha Rabbi Meir midiver Rabbi Yoshua kamar. But now let's ask the question. After having just learned the Tosefta together, so how can you give any other pshat Rabbi Meir? Clearly Rabbi Meir is basing himself on the position Rabbi Chanina is going to go on him, because in the dialogue between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi says, how can you do that? How can you learn from Rabbi Chanina is going to go on him? So it's clear from the Tosefta that Rabbi Meir is basing himself on Rabbi Chanina is going to go on him. How can you say otherwise? So the Gemara says, I'm going to reread the question. Rabbi Meir midiv Rabbi Yoshua kamar amay mahadale Rabbi Yossi midiv Rabbi Chanina is going to call on him. So amale Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, look, what you're going to have to do is, I know the Tosefta gives us some of the dialogue, but not all the dialogue. Rabbi Yossi lava daite. Rabbi Yossi didn't understand everything perfectly, meaning he didn't fully get it. Dehusav Rabbi Meir midiv Rabbi Chanina is going to call on him kamarle. So he thought that Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim was launching off of... Sorry, let me say that again. He thought that Rabbi Meir was launching off Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Ve'amale ana midrav Yeshua kamina. So what then, in other words, were more dialogue. Then what Rabbi Meir says is, you totally misunderstood me. I'm not going like Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. I'm basing it on the position of Rabbi Yeshua. Ve'amale, and now... right. The point that two of you made, Rabbi Yoshua nami, eino hi amida. What do you mean, Rabbi Yoshua? Really? The hamod the Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yoshua shesarv zuba afna v'zubifne atzma. So, right, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Lazar both say that if I have truma that one is Torah and one's tamei, I burn zubifne atzma v'zubifne atzma. The amai eino hi amida. Mida umidahi. So the Gemara says. So then, how are you going to defend the position of Rebbe Meir? Shani hasam diika hefseid chulin. So the Gemara says. So now, okay, good. So now that we understand that, there's more dialogue than what the Tosefta gives us. The Tosefta originally thought, meaning Rav Yossi originally thought that Rav Meir was platformed off of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. The Gemara says, no, he's not. He's going to that Mishnah back in Trumos. That Mishnah in Trumos tells us, again, that case is where I had the Truma Tahora, running into the Chul and Tamein underneath. And what the Mishnah tells us is that, at least according to Rabbi Yoshua, if I have no chance of saving the Truma, what can I do? Be mitame the truma. Here too, I can be mitame the truma. So the Gemara says, now that I know all that, so the Gemara asks, it seems to be that Rabbi Meir is making what seems to be a very good point. Mida umidahi. Shani hasam diika hafseid chulan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? In that Mishnah Trumos, yes, it's true. Rav Yoshua will allow you to be mitame the truma biyadayim. But you know why? Because you're saving chulan. Because if you're not mitame the truma, what's going to happen is the truma is going to fall into the chulin. The chulin and truma are going to get mixed together. No one's allowed to eat the chulin now. Meaning chulin tame by itself was fine. We're allowed to eat chulin tamein. But now no one's allowed to eat the chulin. And so now what I'm doing, and yes, I'm being mitame the truma, but yes, I'm also doing so in order to save the chulin that's underneath. Fine. So maske vla rav yirmiya masis anamika hefse de eitzim. The Gemara says, okay, but can't you argue that here also, there's also going to be loss? Because if you're forcing me to burn them separately as opposed to burning them together, isn't that mean I'm going to need more firewood? So isn't there a financial loss? Amalei ha'usaba lehefse meruba chashashu lehefse mu'at lo chashashu. No, no. In other words, extra fuel for the fire, extra wood, that's hefse mu'at. That's not worth a consideration. But saving the chulin, meaning making the chulin, keeping the chulin edible, That's hefsed meruba. That's a loss. It's a significant loss, and therefore you're allowed to burn it. You're allowed to destroy be metame the truma. Okay, that now brings us all to our answer number two. Okay, so now we're reflecting. Rabbi Meir says that on Erev Pesach you're allowed to burn truma tameh with truma tahora, period. And he gets that from where? So that now we have two basic approaches in today's daf. Our first approach is he gets from Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim. What's the comparison? So Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim was talking about where the two meets. One was Tamei Midaraisa, and the other was Tamei Midarabanan. And what comes out now is that at least on a Torah level, I'm being Mitamei meat as I'm burning them together. And so what Rabbi Meir says is good. Once I'm there, so now it's not the biggest leap to say that I'm allowed to burn Truma Torah with Truma Tamei on Erev Pesach. And it's a little leap, and we're going to show you how we're going to make that little leap. That's approach number one. Approach number two is that Reb Meir is not basing it off of Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim is talking about where both pieces of meat are Tamei Mida Araisa. All I'm doing is just adding a level of Tuma, but they're both Tamei Mida Araisa. So where does Rabbi Meir get it from? He gets from a sheet of Rav Yoshua in a Mishnah in Trumos that talks about being Metame Truma to save the Chulin underneath. Okay. Those are our two basic approaches and where Rav Meir gets it from. Now, with all this stated, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Machlokus B'Sheish, our debate in our Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rav Yossi as to whether or not I could burn Truma Tahora together with Truma Tamea, that's during the sixth hour. Sixth hour of the day, what's the status of Chametz? Chametz during the sixth hour is Aser Midrabanan, not Midaraisa. Ava B'Sheva, but if we're in the seventh hour of the day, that's now the hour after midday, if we're in the seventh hour of the day, Divrei Hakol Sorfin, everyone's of the opinion that you could be Soreif. Why? Because now the Truma Tahora is what? Now, don't say it's Tameh, because it's not, but it's Aser. It's Aser min HaTorah.
Sure.
It's you can call it whatever you can call it Hefker. That may be an accurate statement, but it's Aser min HaTorah. To show you an interesting Rashi. Rashi says, if I can find it. So Metame Tomas Ochlin, no Shani Hasam, sorry. Machlokus b'sheish, yeah. Look at Rashi. I'm sorry. It's right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Machlokus b'sheish, adain ein al tahara ela iser derabana. Ava b'sheva shenesra kvar min atara ein lecha tuma gedola mizu. V'divrei hakol af l'Rabbi Yossi shesorfen. Right, correct. Meaning, right. Perfect. That's really the question. What does Rashi mean by that? Essentially, I don't think I'm saying anything which is crazy. Essentially, what Rashi means is that it's gone. Meaning, it's not Tameh. Meaning, the seventh hour of the day now doesn't inject Tuma into this Truma. But essentially, it's over. It's finished. The story with that Truma is now officially over. The Torah says it's Chametz. It's now Aser Min HaTorah. So in other words, so now what am I doing? Really, essentially nothing. I'm burning it together with Truma Tahora. I'm sorry, I'm burning it together with Truma Tamea, so what? Meaning, it's Chametz Aser Min HaTorah. Right? I know the language of Rashi is a little bit shocking, but ain't Tuma Gedola Mizu. It basically means story is over. So at the seventh hour of the day, Divrei Hakol Sorfin. Everyone was of the opinion that you can burn the two together. Amale Rabbi Zerul Ravasi, Nemekas of Rav Yochanan, Masis, Abba Tuma Doraisa, Uvlada Tuma Dorabanan, Umayme Divrei, Medivrei Bechanin, it's going to go on him. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like Rav Yochanan agrees with that first pshat that we gave today. Meaning that really what Rav Meir is launching himself off of is not Rav Yeshua and the Mishnah and Trumos, but rather our very Mishnah. How can he launch off of our very Mishnah? Because Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim is talking about where the two pieces of meat, one is Tuma Daraisa, and the other is Tuma Darabanan. Amar lay in, and the answer is yes. And let's go over this yes just a little bit better. We'll close over here with this point today. But now, it's starting to make a lot more sense in the following. You see, what Rabbi Chanina's going to go on and says is that if I have meat which is tami midaraisa and I have meat which is tami derabanan, it's okay, you can burn the two together. It's fine, it's not a big deal. Right? Even though min haTorah, one is tame and one is tahor, but because now it's tame derabanan, it's fine. You see, now you understand it's not such a big leap for Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says what? That during the 6 hour, you could do the same thing. Now, what's the status of that chametz during the 6 hour? It's aser midrabanan. So in other words, just like Rabbi Chanina said, I can burn tumah and tahara together, because that tahara is aser midrabanan, so too during the 6 hour, specifically the 6 hour, I can burn tumah tahara, tumah tameya. Why? Because on a derabanan level, that tumah tahara is aser. Right? You see now, according to Rabbi Meir, the cases really are a better parallel. Still not a perfect parallel, because one's talking about Tumah Derabanan and the other one's talking about Issur Derabanan. It's not a perfect parallel, but it's certainly a lot better. That's how Rabbi Meir gets from our Mishnah, that from Rabbi Chanina's Gan Kohanim, that just like I can burn meats that are one's Tumah Derabanan and the other one's Tumah Derabanan, so too I can burn Chametz, or one is Truma Tahora, but it's Aser Midrabanan with Truma Tameya. Okay, that's and what comes out now is that Rav Yochanan, what pshat does he like in our Mishnah? He likes that first pshat, not the Reish Lakish pshat, which, by the way, usually works out. Usually Rav Yochanan argues with Reish Lakish. Not the Reish Lakish pshat, that what Rav Meir was doing was going all the way back to a Mishnah in Trumos and deriving it from a sheet of Rav Yeshua in the Mishnah in Trumos, but rather he got it from Rabbi Chanina. And just let me just read a little bit more, because we're essentially, the Gemara is now going to make this point that Rabbi Tushman and I made earlier. Okay, so it comes out now that not only is Rabbi Yochanan saying it, but we actually know Rav Yochanan said it himself. It's not just speculation, but we actually have it. Okay, quickly the review. We have now the sheet of Rav Meir who says that you're allowed to burn Truma Tahara with Tameya on Erev Pesach. How does he know it? Midivreihem, from their words. So who's they? So either pshat number one is, he learned from Rabbi Chanina's Gan Kohanim, which now we know at the end of today's daf, that is Rav Yochanan's viewpoint. And how is it a parallel? It's a parallel because Rabbi Chanina is talking about meat which is tummy, which is meat with meat which is tummy. But the first meat is tummy min haTorah, the second meat is tummy derabanan. So too on Erev Pesach, specifically during the 6 hour, that Truma Tahara is Aser Midrabanan. And that's why you're allowed to burn it together with Truma Tameya. Good. That's one pshat. Or a second pshat, which is the pshat of Reish Lakish, is that he's not learning it from Rabbi Chanina's Gan Kohanim. In fact, Rabbi Chanina's Gan Kohanim is talking about Tumah Daraisa together with Tumah Daraisa. So they're both Tameh, Min HaTorah. It's just bumping it up a level. But rather, he's running it back. We're going to back to a Mishnah in Trumos, where the Mishnah in Trumos is talking about how, because I want to save the Chulin, so therefore I'm allowed to be Metame Truma B'Yadayim. That sheet of Rav Yeshua can be reflective, can be plugged in over here as well. In other words, since we're going to be losing the Truma anyway, because in just a short hour from now it's going to become Aser, Min haTorah, so therefore I'm allowed to destroy it B'Yadayim. Okay, that is our two approaches in how Rav Meir got to his conclusion. Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the next daf of Tumah Tahara.